As a priest, and especially being a pastor, I've always enjoyed helping decorate the church for Christmas. And especially, I enjoy setting up the manger scene. It gives me great happiness to do so. And bringing it all to mind, there's wonderful ways to meditate on the manger scene. So where does it all come from? Well, if we go back to the year 1223, almost 800 years ago, St. Francis of Assisi went to a little town south of Assisi called Greccio. It was in the hillside, and down below in the valley was farming. The hills had been terraced since Roman times with vineyards planted, and they made wonderful wine. The Franciscans had a small monastery there. Francis realized, though, that the chapel would be too small for everybody to attend midnight mass, so he decided they would have mass outside, under the stars, in the big plaza. So they did that. But Francis, who celebrated Christmas with an indescribable joy, according to his biographer, Thomas of Celano, wanted to do something special. So he made the first nativity scene. He took the statue of Mary and Joseph from the chapel. He took a little baby doll and a crib from a little girl, borrowing it, of course. And then he took some sheep and an ox and an ass, and he set up the manger scene. But ask yourself, why all of this? Think about what it's about. Because to gaze upon the little manger scene brings us into the depths of Christmas. Of course, the focus is Christ. Little baby Jesus is there. But remember, it was in God the Father's plan that in the fullness of time, he would send his Son. As St. John writes, as Jesus himself said, not to condemn the world, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. Remember, since the time of Adam and Eve, sin had entered this world. Yes, that original sin, but so much other sin. Such sin caused this estrangement between God and man. And not only between God and man, between man and his neighbor, between man with his very self. So how could one heal this chasm, this gap caused by sin? It would take a divine action of God, but because it was due to man's sin, it would take man's action. So in the plan of the Heavenly Father, he sent his Son, Jesus, second person of the Holy Trinity, the Word and Wisdom of God, the one consubstantial with the Father, into this world through Mary, a virgin, who had conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ, true God, became true man. As St. John so beautifully writes, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of an only begotten Son, filled with grace and truth. But while we look at little baby Jesus there, with his arms open, we have to go further. We could ask ourselves, well, why didn't God the Father send his Son like some general, like some king, with an army of angels to wipe out all those who do evil and make others obey his will, obey those commandments? Instead, he disarmed us. He disarmed us with a little baby. Because who of us here doesn't fall in love with a baby? Who of us here doesn't want to hold a baby? That's the point. But we can't just even stop there. Because every time we look at little baby Jesus in our manger scene, we look up and we see that's why he came. Jesus, the man, perfectly revealed God's truth and love by his preaching, teaching, miracles. He's the one that offered the perfect sacrifice for our sins that transcends time. Yes, he forgave the sins of his time, the time before, but because he's true God who became true man, his saving action touches our lives. And he rose to open the gates of heaven to give us the hope of everlasting life. So really, what Christ has done is something mind-boggling in a way, truly miraculous, because God so loved us. God wanted us to have a dignity, a life, a sharing in His life, His love, that even surpassed what Adam and Eve shared. But then we go further, because not only is this a great gift of Christmas, Jesus Himself, Jesus came in the context of a marriage, a family, and a home life. There's a great gift to our Christmas, isn't it? To think that Jesus shared His love with Mary and Joseph, who were married and who were His parents, albeit Joseph was His foster father, and made a home for Him. So we have then this great gift that we ought to cherish this day. So Saint Joseph was that foster father. He's the one who provided for His family. He's the guardian who protected them from evil, like the wrath of King Herod. As that good, righteous man, he had to be the leader of the house in the spiritual life. So he led the family in prayer every morning, every evening, grace at meals. He made sure they went to the synagogue on Saturday, the Sabbath. He made sure they went to Jerusalem for the special feast of Passover. As that good Jewish foster father that he was, he taught Jesus how to read and to read the Torah. What a fine masculine example Saint Joseph was. What a great gift then. And all the men here, whether you're single, whether you're husbands, whether you're fathers or even grandfathers, ought to think about, you are a gift to your family. Be a gift like Saint Joseph. And for the rest of us, we ought to cherish that gift. Mary, too, was a special gift in that she was the mother. She was that heart of the home. She did all those wonderful things that moms do. She was loved by Jesus and Saint Joseph. So for all of you women, whether you're single or you're married or you're a mom or a grandmother, you're a gift. And be that gift to your family. And we should cherish this gift. What a beautiful context it is. So not only this Christmas do we celebrate the gift of Jesus Himself, but there's that gift of family life, married life, our home life. How precious that is. But we could go further, because even though St. Francis didn't include this, we have our shepherds there. So they were very simple. They lived on the land. They just were happy to have their daily sustenance. And we have our three kings. Of course, they haven't arrived yet. They're coming around the bend over there. They'll arrive in a couple of weeks. But they saw that star. They were wise men. But they're wise enough to know they didn't know everything. And they brought their gifts of gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, and myrrh, the burial ointment for one who would die. But consider this. Simple men, the shepherds, wise men who humbled themselves before our Lord. Isn't that so important? Because how else can we appreciate the gift of Christmas if we don't become simple and humble in our own lives before Almighty God? We live in a world that would tell us you'll find happiness if you accumulate material things, money, even friends, how many Facebook friends there are and so on. And yet how much those things bring us anxiety, frustration, even dissatisfaction. The world would tell us, oh, you'll find happiness in the technology. Technology is all the answers. And some would say, well, with all the technology, who really needs God? Well, that's great until the natural disaster hits and technology can't answer the questions. Or when the doctor calls up and says you have terminal cancer and technology can't answer the questions. Only God can make us see beyond. And then there are those that would say, oh, you'll find joy if you follow some ideology, do what's popular, that whole political correctness kind of thing. And yet, how easily that political correctness has made people disposable. Life has become very disposable, whether for the unborn, the elderly, the sick, the suffering. But when we humble ourselves and we make our lives simple before God, that's when we find truth, and we find love, and we find hope that only God can give. Now, we could go further, too, because we have some of our animal friends there, right? So we have the ox, and we have the ass, the donkey. Well, why them? Well, Isaiah prophesied that the ox would know its master and the donkey would know the crib. So the early church fathers always saw that as like the Messiah coming to both Jew and Gentile, bringing us together in one church. But there's another reason, I think, too. Remember what Jesus said? He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon yourself, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." Well, the ox had the yoke, and it was custom made to fit him. And oxen did not just plow singularly, they plowed in pairs. So our Lord's saying is, "I'll be with you. I'll be there to help you with your burden. I'll plow along with you." And the donkey, too, is a beast of burden. So we remember how the donkey was the means of transportation for Mary and Joseph as they came from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Jesus rode a donkey when he went into Jerusalem for Palm Sunday. There's a great story, a tradition in the church, where that donkey of Jerusalem followed Jesus on Good Friday to the way of Calvary. And then, as Jesus hung on the cross, the little donkey bowed down. And the light that came behind the cross cast the shadow of the cross on the little donkey. And that's why, if you look at the donkey closely, he has a dark stripe down his spine and one that goes across ear to ear. Jesus told us, "Carry your cross." We're called to carry the cross. But again, it's with him. We are marked by the sign of the cross. We need to bear witness to that cross. We have our little happy sheep. So sheep are fun. But remember, they were raised primarily for wool because they were an asset. Each of us is precious in the eyes of God. Never forget that. That's a great gift at Christmas, when we could easily be thinking about what we don't have. What's most important is, in the eyes of God, you and I are precious. We are an asset. God has us here for a purpose. Now, sheep aren't so easy to deal with. That's why we have shepherds. They wander around. So maybe we have one of our lost sheep in our own family, someone who's wandered off, someone who's sort of gone astray from the church or the life that Christ wants us to live. This is a good time to pray for the little lost sheep. Sheep, too, were raised for sacrifice. So they were the temple sacrifices for like Passover. Jesus himself was called the Lamb of God. But keep in mind, you and I are called to be a sacrifice, to be a witness, a martyr for the faith. Let's pray this night for all of our fellow Christians throughout the world who may be risking their lives to be in church, just to be in church to celebrate Christmas. Yes, we have to remember there are so many persecuted Christians. Now, we might, God willing, ever have to face such a bloody kind of martyrdom. But what about just defending and living our faith? Being that real witness, isn't that part of being like the little lamb of the manger scene, to bear that witness to Christ each day? Now, there's one other little point here. There's an angel, and we shouldn't forget the angels. In our society, so sophisticated with the technology, we forget there is that supernatural dimension. The angels are with us. You and I have a guardian angel, and that guardian angel is given to us by God to help us along our way. Never forget, our little guardian angel is there to light, guard, to rule, and guide. What else could be said? Well, what about the straw? Why not? Straw. Hey, it was there for comfort, for warmth, for food. Well, my brothers and sisters, if we have a comfortable home that's warm, especially with the warmth of our family, and we have food on our table, we're blessed. So blessed. And when we say that grace at meals and the presence of God is with us, how blessed we are. There's an old Eastern European tradition, which is if you take a little piece of straw from the manger scene at Christmas time and put it in your wallet or your purse, you'll always have enough for the rest of the year. It's a tradition I've always followed. So you may, if you want, whether it's here or outside, take a little piece of straw, put it in your wallet or your purse, and remember, Christmas and God will always provide. Now, don't take all the straw, but God, we need it, but God will always provide. All right, so back to St. Francis. Well, after all that's said and done, after the gospel we just heard, St. Francis went over and knelt down by his little nativity scene, and he picked up baby Jesus. And his biographer, Thomas of Celano, said that a miracle happened that night, that little baby doll came alive. And St. Francis actually held baby Jesus. After a short time, he put baby Jesus back in the crib and was back to being a baby doll. Wouldn't that be wonderful tonight? But that's what happens. For between that manger scene and that cross is our altar. On this altar, bread and wine will be transubstantiated in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. If we're in a state of grace and we receive our Lord Jesus in the Eucharist, we can hold Christ. Hold Christ tonight. Remember all the different blessings that we have that really make Christmas Christmas. All the blessings that are depicted in this little manger scene. Reflect on it, because then Christmas will not just be a passing day. Christmas will be something to be lived each day. May God bless you.